That is the title cut from the debut album from talented musician and singer Karina Reichman called Joyride, co-produced by Trey Anastasio of Phish. We had a chance to talk about the making of the album and more with Karina earlier today.
Hey, Rich, how you doing,
Pat? I am great. How are you this morning?
I'm so fantastic. I can hardly contain myself. It's really just out of control.
Well, so glad to hear it and so excited for you with the brand new album, Joyride. And I want to talk more about that, but I want to get some background information first. When did you pick up the bass for the first time?
Oh, baby, let me tell you about it, Rich. I was probably about 13 years old. You know, I started on guitar about 12 years old and became completely obsessed with it in almost a sick way. I really just put my blinders on for the rest of the world, and everything was about playing guitar. And I had my guitar friends, and everybody sort of learned from each other, and we were trading licks and riffs and whatnot. And then before I knew it, I was in a punk rock band called False Arrest, and I played guitar in that band. But then very shortly after, I was suddenly, it was the type of thing where I started just playing bass in three bands and guitar in three other bands, you know. So around that time, I just started picking it up, and it was a simultaneous guitar-bass love affair, shall we say. And kind of still play both, but really focused into the bass when I joined a gentleman named Marco Benevento's band when I was towards the end of my NYU career. And that was sort of a big gig for me at the time. And I was like, okay, I'm a bassist. That's how that really developed.
I was thinking about some of the great female bassists in rock music and people like, the legendary Carole Kaye, but Tina Weymouth, Kim Deal, so many others. Was there one, a male or female bassist that you sort of latched onto as a role model?
I mean, all the aforementioned, for sure. I mean, Tina Weymouth, it's almost too easy for people to draw comparisons between the two of us, you know? And which I really appreciate. I mean, there's no one I'd rather be compared to in a lot of ways, you know? So Tina is huge. Obviously, Carol's huge. Cliff Burton, Metallica, God rest his soul, you know, is just such a huge influence on me, and very much, you know, every time I pick up a bass guitar, I feel like a Cliff riff comes out, you know, and that's just a huge part of me. Geddy Lee from Rush,
yep.
A huge one. John Paul Jones, Sting, in the sense of, like, you know, both Sting and Geddy Lee are, you know, singing bass players, and that's, you know, what I do as well, and it's not easy, you know, so it's, I take a lot of inspiration from their, you know, their bass lines that they can also sing over somehow so effortlessly. So a lot of those. I mean, the list goes on, right? It's, you know, Bootsy Collins to Geezer Butler to Tina to, you know, you name it.
You've described yourself as a punk rock metal kid. What kind of music did you listen to? What was played in your house when you were growing up?
Well, you know, what was played in my house was classical music. My parents are both academics. They both teach at Columbia. They're incredible, wonderful humans that are not at all, like, all of my knowledge of rock and roll was self-taught, you know, and came from just a deep desire to learn, and was certainly not played in my house at all. My dad listened to a lot of classical music while he wrote. He's a philosopher, writes books and gives lectures and things of that sort, you know. So I love all that music, but my desire for, you know, kind of a sweeping knowledge of, you know, popular music from 1955 to the present was very much self-motivated. And, you know, I got all my friends and everybody that I surrounded myself with was interested in, you know, that type of music, be it, you know, all 70s riff rock to, you know, an incredible amount of 90s influence that I have. I love Nine Inch Nails. I love Beck. I love the Beastie Boys. I love Morphine. I love Soul Coughing, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and then making its way up to the present, I love LCD Sound System and the Yeah Yeah Yeahs and the National and Crumb and Tame Impala, and, you know, the list goes on and on. So that was all, that's been an incredible life of discovery of the music that's been so foundational to me.
We're talking with Karina Reichman here on Downtown. You mentioned joining up with Marco Benevento's band when you were at NYU. Were you in the Tisch School?
I was at the Gallatin School of Individualized Study.
That's awesome. I work in arts education, so I'm a big proponent of that. What did that do for you?
You know, it did a lot for me in a very untraditional way. You know, I'm born and raised in Manhattan. I didn't want to leave Manhattan. I wanted to just go from uptown to downtown. You know, my parents are Columbia professors, but I was like, you know, NYU is cool. You know, like downtown is cool. That's where the music is. That's where everything happens. And so, you know, my major, which at the School of Individualized Study, you can name your major and take the classes that you need to take to, you know, fulfill it. And I called mine Invention and Distribution in Contemporary Music. And that was really wild and awesome. And they allowed me to intern, and they allowed me to tour, and they allowed me to do all these incredible things that I feel like a more rigid, archaic school would have had absolutely no time for. So they really fostered my career in a huge way.
All right. How did Trey Anastasio come into your orbit?
Trey Anastasio came into my orbit because I went to middle school with his daughter. So originally, I was just a friend of the family for many years, and I had absolutely no idea that he played in a band at all. and then many years later, you know, we've, of course, stayed in touch and whatnot, but then it was at the Peach Music Festival in Scranton, Pennsylvania, in 2021, we ran into each other after, you know, that was like a post-pandemic coming out party, you know, for all of us musicians, and we saw each other. And I had no idea that he had kept tabs on what I was up to musically the way that he had. But he was naming all my songs by name to me, and he was saying how proud he was. And then we started talking about my debut record. He took an incredible interest in being a part of it. And then next thing you know, he's playing guitar on 5 of the 9 songs, and he's co-producing the whole thing and giving me the barn to work out of, his, you know, magical studio that he has had in Vermont since, you know, the late 90s. And I'm flabbergasted at the care and consideration he's taken into making this record what it is.
Well, the title cut has been released, and it is just, it's a perfect slice of summer. I love Joyride.
I'm so glad you do. Thank you so much.
And the video is great, too. Who produced and directed that?
Oh, that is a very special shout out to a gentleman named Charlie Chalkin, Chalkin, Chalkin Creative. Charlie made the No Occasion music video many years ago, or 2 years ago, and he made the Joyride music video, and we actually just shot another music video for another tune on the record that will remain nameless for now, but he is responsible for so much of my visual world, and he actually just shot a whole documentary series on me, on the making of the record and beyond. He's been following me around for quite a few years now, and it's a joy to work with him. And the Joyride music video, man. Don't try this at home, kids.
Well, the album is terrific, and Joyride, the title cut, is a blast. But I also love All That You Wanted and Skylark, Slowlark. That is just one cool tune.
Thank you so much. I mean, you know, the way that It's super genre fluid and varied throughout, while also, I think, sounding like one big body of work is, I'm glad it's resonating with people, because it certainly has been resonating with me for these past few years. I've been meticulously working on it. So thank you so much for saying so.
Well, and everybody raves about your live performances. What is it about performing in front of an audience that just brings you to even more life than right now, which is pretty awesome?
It's my favorite thing in the universe. It's like one of those things where I feel like a lot of people don't even understand how much I enjoy performing on stage, but it's like my lifeblood. It's my greatest addiction, is being on stage and performing for people. I've always sort of been that way, to the point where, like, when I was like a little kid and I would, you know, I'm from Manhattan, so we take elevators a lot. Anytime I was in an elevator, I immediately had an audience, right? And if there were other people in the elevator, that was my captive audience. So I would perform for anybody who got into an elevator for me. And when I would take a taxi cab, boom, taxi driver, he's trapped, right? So I would perform for the taxi drivers. And I feel like it's just an innate, you know, some people have these proclivities towards things. And that, I think, is something that I've always had. And now to be able to, you know, perform my own music that I've written for people who know the words and are excited to see it. And it's truly beyond description the way I feel doing this. So I'm flabbergasted that I have any audience at all. It gives me the time of day to do what I love to this degree and in this way. So huge for me.
Elevator, that's a great name for a song. Oh, wait, you've done that already. You're going to be up here in Maine in December at the Portland House of Music and Events on December 3rd. Will that be your first time playing here in Maine?
It will not be. I have played many times in Maine, and I love playing in Portland. It's so much fun. I sold out Sun Tiki Studios in Maine, or in Portland, last December. I have played Thompson's Point a number of times, opening for the Ghost of Paul Revere.
Oh, nice.
And I've played many times with Marco Benevento over the years. It is one of my favorite markets in the entire country, and I would like to give a large shout-out to the Eventide Oyster Company. It is my favorite restaurant in the country, and I am so excited to go back when we play Portland, Maine. And yeah, those tickets are already kind of almost gone, which is crazy because it's not until December. So Portland House of Music, beginning of December, get your tickets. It's going to be a party. I'm really looking forward to being back.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations on the debut album. It's wonderful. Look forward to seeing the show in December. And thank you so much for making a little time for us today.
Oh, my God. Thank you for making time for me. This has been a true delight. Thank you so much for the insightful and thoughtful questions.